This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Continuing with our series here in the month of Ramadan, Paths to Peace, where we are looking at the mention and exploring the concept of peace and tranquility in the Quran and reflecting on it and deriving from it on how we ourselves can attain greater tranquility and serenity through the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this blessed month of Ramadan. Today we're going to look at Surah At-Tawbah, Surah number 9, Ayah number 40. Before I go into the actual ayah, however, it's important to just set the stage for exactly what the ayah is addressing and when this ayah was revealed. This ayah was revealed during the 9th year of Hijrah. 9 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or in the 9th year of his residence in Medina, after the Hijrah. And in the 9th year, there is a major event that takes place in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is known as the expedition Ghazwa Tabuk, the expedition to Tabuk. Tabuk is a location far to the north of Medina, and this is the furthest distance the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveled during the prophetic period. And there was intelligence, there were reports that there was an army of at least 100,000, which was unlike anything that Arabia had seen, that was coming from the Roman Empire to basically attack the Muslims. This growing force based in Medina. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, based on the divine inspiration and guidance from Allah, he was instructed that this cannot go unanswered. This has to be responded to with force. And so the Prophet ﷺ basically started commanding the companions and started recruiting the companions to start forming an army, gathering resources and supplies. And the Quran came down mandating, Infiru khifafan wa thiqala. وَجَاهِدُوا بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Everyone has to go. Every adult, able-bodied, capable male, it was mandatory for them to go. النَّفِيرُ الْعَامِ. And at the same time, everyone was encouraged to give, to donate, to contribute as much as they could. So, but at the same time, it was in the midst of a lot of difficulty. It was the summertime. It was very hot. It was nearing the time of their harvest of the dates, which was their primary form of sustenance and their primary form of business. They at the same time were going to potentially meet an army that was going to outnumber them at the very least 3-1 and maybe even 10-1. And so the hypocrites, these were people who pretended to be Muslim because they wanted to enjoy the benefits of living in Medina and the other communal benefits of being a Muslim, but they did not believe in Islam at all. And in fact, many of them harbored a lot of rancor and evil sentiment towards the Prophet ﷺ and the Muslims. So these munafiqun, the hypocrites, they started their own covert kind of underground campaign where they were trying to create doubt within the minds and the hearts of the believers, those who were willing to go, those who were willing to sacrifice. They were trying to plant the seed of doubt. لَا تَنْفِرُوا فِي الْحَرِّ. Don't go out into the heat. Don't kill yourself. Don't do this, don't do that. And they were planting all this doubt. And in response, and it's not that the believers were shaken or they lost any of their conviction, but at the same time, when someone is constantly campaigning you, and they're constantly talking to you and trying to get inside your head, naturally, it's a little confusing. And because of a little bit of that uneasiness or hesitation or reluctance that was just starting to manifest in the community, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayah number 40 in surah number 9. And Allah said, إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ, don't help him. Talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you don't want to go with him? You don't want to help him? You don't want to ride with him? You're not willing to sacrifice alongside him? Then don't. فَقَدَ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ. But remember, Allah helped the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the past, and Allah is fully capable of helping him again, and Allah will indeed help him. And then Allah himself gives an example of a moment from the past, from the history, in which Allah provided that divine help and assistance to the Prophet ﷺ. He said, "Idh," remember, "Idh akhrajahu alladhina kafaru." Remember when those who disbelieved, they pushed the Prophet ﷺ out of his home, and out of his city, and out of his community? This is talking about before the hijrah, before the migration, when the Prophet ﷺ was in Mecca, preaching and teaching the message of Islam. And finally, the forces that be, the powers that be in Quraysh and Mecca at that time, they decided that it was time to take drastic action against the Prophet ﷺ. More drastic than they had already taken. They had exiled many Muslims. They had assaulted the Prophet ﷺ on numerous occasions. They had tortured and even killed a number of Muslims. They had boycotted them and tried to starve them to death. They had done all of this. And they said, it's time to do something more drastic. And that is to outright assassinate him. And Allah sent Jibreel alayhi salam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, you have to leave Mecca now. So remember when they pushed him out. But then Allah says that Allah did help the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that moment, but at the same time, Allah did not leave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his own. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't have to do that by himself. ثَانِ يَثْنَيْنِ إِذْهُمَا فِي الْغَارِ. That there was the second of the two when they were both in the cave. So what happened was, Allah provided a miracle. The Prophet ﷺ slips out of his home undetected by the huge force that has gathered around his home. It was a miracle of the Quran and of the Prophet ﷺ, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدَّ. And the Prophet ﷺ slips out. He goes to the home of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu has already made all the preparations. And then they slip out of Mecca in the middle of the night, in the still of the night. And they've already identified a location. They go to Jabal Thawr, this very huge, difficult mountain to climb right outside of Mecca. And over there, there's a small little crawl space, a small tiny cave. And they hide in there. And they spend 3 days and three nights hidden inside of that cave. And Allah says that the Prophet ﷺ was not by himself. He had a companion with him. And that was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ. And the narration that Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah ta'ala and others mention is that when they arrived at that cave, فَلَمَّا وَصَلَا إِلَى الْغَارِ دَخَلَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ الْغَارَ أَوَّلًا. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went inside the cave first. يَلْتَمِسُ مَا فِي الْغَارِ. He scoped out that cave. فَقَالَ لَهُ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم مَا لَكَ. And he told the Prophet, wait. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, well, what's going on with you? What's wrong? He said, بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. He said, oh Messenger of Allah, I would sacrifice anything for you. الْغِيرَانُ مَأْوَى السِّبَاعِ وَالْهَوَامِ. Caves, a lot of times, there are harmful creatures and insects and things like that inside of these caves. فَإِنْ كَانَ فِيهِ شَيْءٌ كَانَ بِي لَا بِكْ. So if there's something harmful in here, I'd rather that it attacked me or bit me but did not get to you. وَكَانَ فِي الْغَارِ حُجُرٌ فَوَضَعَ عَقِبَهُ عَلَيْهِ. And then there was even a bit of an opening in the cave and he plugged it, and some of the narrations mention he like sat in front of it and blocked it with his body. So that nothing could come out of there and harm the Prophet. So once they're in the cave, at some point during the next 3 days, the forces that were searching for the Prophet, and they had a bounty out on both of them, 100 camels each, dead or alive, which was a huge fortune at that time. And so they're searching, and eventually they arrive in the area of that cave. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he can hear them, and he kind of peeks down and he can kind of see them in the distance. They're standing on a bit of a different elevation, so he can see their feet. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is kind of shaking because it's a scary moment. What if they find us here? And some of the narrations mention that he starts to cry. He has tears streaming down his face. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Why are you crying? Why are you scared?" He said, "Ya Rasulullah, if one of them just kind of like bends down and looks down, they'll see us. And then they'll get to you. They'll get to you. And that's what I'm afraid of." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu at that moment, he said, "La tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana." Don't worry, because Allah is with us. And he said to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, "Ma dhannuka bi ithnaini Allahu thalithuhuma." That what do you think can happen to two travelers when Allah is the third companion on their journey? What can harm them? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he's so overwhelmed, he says, "Inna Allah la ma'ana." Allah is with us. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Na'am." فَجَعَلَ يَمْسَحُ الدُّمُوعَ عَنْ خَدِّهِ. And then the Prophet ﷺ wiped the tears from Abu Bakr's face. That Allah is with us. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, a great tabi'i, student of the Sahaba, who actually learned the Qur'an from Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. He used to narrate this incident, and when he would narrate it, he would start to cry. Every single time he narrated, he would cry. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them. Ultimately, they were not able to locate them. And after 3 days, they came down from the cave. And Abdullah bin Uraiqit, who was not Muslim yet, he would become Muslim later, he was a guide, a master tracker and a guide. They had hired him. And then he was waiting there down at the base of the mountain for them with the camels that they were going to take on the journey. And the son of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was visiting them throughout these 3 days and three nights and keeping them supplied and informed about what was going on. And when they came down to the base of the cave, the daughter of Abu Bakr, Asma bint Abi Bakr, was waiting there at the base of the mountain as well with food supplies for them. And very famously, they needed something to be able to tie it to the camel, to the saddle. So she took her belt that she was wearing and she ripped it in two and then used it to tie the food sack to the saddle that they were riding on. And the Prophet ﷺ gave her the title of Dhatun Nitaqin, that the one who tore her belt into two for the sake of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. And then they continued on their journey and they reached Medina, and we know the rest of the story. But going back to the ayah, that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it, that he says, remember, إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ, when the Prophet ﷺ said to his companion, لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Don't worry, because Allah is with us. But this is the part that I wanted to get to. فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَيْهِ. And Allah sent down His tranquility upon him. Not them, him. And the scholars, the Mufassirun, they mention the him mentioned in the verse is Abu Bakr. Because the Prophet ﷺ always was in a tranquil state. But Allah sent His divine mercy, His tranquility, peace, serenity directly upon ala qalbi Abu Bakr. Directly onto the heart of Abu Bakr. Such a blessing, such a gift, such a privilege, such an honor. وَأَيَّدَهُ And then Allah aided the Prophet ﷺ بِجُنُودٍ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا With the unseen army, the angels. And then there are other narrations as well. There's some discussion about the authenticity, but there's other narrations as well about Allah sent certain creatures like the spider putting its web and the bird putting its nest to deter them from searching the cave. وَجَعَلَ كَلِمَةَ الَّذِينَ كَفْرُوا السُّفْلَى And Allah degraded the convictions of those who oppose the Prophet ﷺ. وَكَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا And the mission and the cause of Allah will always be superior and elevated. وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ And Allah is almighty and all wise. But the point that I wanted to make here from this ayah today is Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you know, one of Sufyan ibn Uyayna, he says something really beautiful and powerful. He says, مَا صَحِبَ أَحَدٌ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ مِثْلَ أَبِي بَكَرٍ Abu Bakr is the greatest companion of any prophet ever. There has never been a greater companion than Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Allah is saying in the Quran, Allah sent His divine peace and tranquility and serenity directly down onto the heart of Abu Bakr. And that's why some of the narrations mention that was the reason from that point on forward, nothing could ever rattle Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He was never rattled by anything. The day the Prophet ﷺ passed away, of course he was sad. But when Uthman couldn't talk, and Ali couldn't stop crying, and Umar was yelling and screaming, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was calm and serene. And he ascended the minbar, and he pulled the community together. They fed off of his calmness, his tranquility on that day. Mere weeks after the passing of the Prophet ﷺ, when a bunch of the tribes around Medina, the Bedouin tribes, started to apostatize, leave Islam, and started to talk about waging war against Medina, everyone was nervous and rattled. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was very calm. When Umar radiallahu anhu came to him very rattled, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu hit him on his chest, like kind of slapped him on the chest. And he said, pull yourself together. We are upon the truth. أَيَنْقُسُ الدِّينُ وَأَنَا حَيْ Can the religion be lost while I'm alive? We have a job to do. Do your job. Abu Bakr never got rattled again for the rest of his life. Because Allah sent down that divine tranquility upon his heart. Now let's get to the crux of the issue, and that is, how do we attain that kind of serenity and tranquility? And the thing that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu demonstrated here, and not just him, but his entire family, was undying loyalty to the Prophet ﷺ. That kind of love and loyalty for the Prophet ﷺ is what earned them the peace and the tranquility and serenity from Allah. Because he is the beloved of Allah. And whoever shows love to the beloved of Allah, then Allah loves them as well. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ If you claim to love Allah, then show your loyalty to the Prophet ﷺ. Follow him. Adore him. Admire him. Know him. Learn about him. Try to live your life like him. And Allah will love you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all love and loyalty for the Prophet ﷺ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend upon us His peace and tranquility and serenity. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahum bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum.